Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back, folks. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined by Fred Jackson, and now Steve Jordahl joins us. And do my eyes deceive me? Is that considered Paisley?
It is Paisley, yes.
It is Paisley.
Yeah.
So I don't call you Steve Paisley Jordahl. That's Tim does.
Well, that's...
But I do take note of what you're wearing, and that looks like a new shirt.
I've had this for a bit. Yeah, it is a colorful one. It's not just Tim, though. We have guests that come through AFA a lot that visit and everything, and every so often they come by, and every so often they'll stop by our cube, and I get to meet the people that our listeners have come.
Yeah.
About all of them who have heard of me on the air know me as Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Steve Paisley Jordahl.
And I got to tell you, it's causing me a little bit of distress.
Yeah?
I've been dealing with a little bit of depression lately.
Ah.
But I'm finding help. I have found a mental health line that helps a lot. I want you to hear a little bit of it.
Hello and welcome to the Mental Health Hotline. If you are obsessive compulsive, press 1 repeatedly. If you are codependent, ask someone to press 2 for you. If you have multiple personalities, press 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you are paranoid, we know what you are and what you want. Stay on the line and we'll trace your call. If you're delusional, press 7 and your call will be transferred to the mothership. If you are schizophrenic, listen carefully and a small voice will tell you which number to press. If you're depressive, it doesn't matter which number you press, no one will answer you. If you're dyslexic, press 69696969. If you have a nervous disorder, please fidget with the hash key until the beep. After the beep, please wait for the beep. If you have a short-term memory loss, please try your call again later. And if you have low self-esteem, hang up. All our operators are too busy to talk.
That's helped me a lot. It really has. So I'm feeling better now.
That was very funny. And folks, before you start emailing, we are not making fun or mocking any of those afflictions.
No.
Okay.
I'm sure they're real.
Yes. they are real. So when did you come up with that one? That's
been around for a while, actually.
It has?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, I don't share everything I find at our story meeting. I save some things.
Yes.
I save some things for the show.
Well played, sir. Well
Thank
played.
You.
That was very funny. All right, Steve.
All right,
go
well,
ahead.
And also, I want to say they have found the wreckage of the F-35.
Right.
That crashed. I'm kind of wondering why it took them so long. This thing apparently made a lot of noise. We have an eyewitness that watched it. This is actual, an eyewitness that saw it crash, and I want you to hear what he had to say. Cut 12.
In the bathroom taking a shave, and I heard a screeching, between a screech and a whistle. I said, what in the world is this? And I heard a boom. Then my whole house shook. The first thought came to me. I said, what's it, a meteorite coming out of space or something? And I said, well, if the airplane, it needed to be reported, but the thing was flying just too low.
So I don't know. I don't know why it took them so long. If it sounded like that, they should have been able to follow the sound.
Okay, now you're going to have to help me here.
Yes.
Is that real?
Yes.
Or that was real?
That was real.
So that was somebody.
It was a local news station that interviewed an eyewitness.
Wow. Wow. Now, personally, I thought the reason it took so long, because I saw this on Facebook. I saw Marines out there with the
key fob.
With the key fob.
That's right.
Pressing it and not getting a response from the.
It took a while.
Like when you park your car in the Walmart parking lot and try to find it. All right. So that was real, for real.
That was the second best eyewitness interview I've ever seen on TV.
I know the first one.
You know the lady, the firehouse?
Yes, I know that one.
The house caught on fire. We'll bring that in on another day.
Is that the one, by the way? Folks, we're just having a little fun. Bear with us. Is that the one where she was talking about they were having to leave because of the fire and they grabbed like a frozen pizza?
No, what I remember about that one is she goes, and he said, there's a fire,
yes.
And then I said.
Anyway.
It was great.
Hey, see if you can find that sometime.
Yeah, we will. We'll do that another day.
That one's pretty funny. Keep that one that you just had. That was excellent.
Okay.
All right, now we can get to some
news.
Fred's over here twiddling his thumbs. Not impressed.
The New York Post is reporting that the FBI has lost count of how many paid confidential informants, human resources, undercover agents, were in the January 6th crowd that invaded the Capitol. There were a handful or maybe more. They don't know. They're having to do a little internal audit to find out. But there were FBI informants in the crowd. And according to the reports we're getting from the New York Post, none of them bothered to stop anything. In fact, we don't know. They're not admitting that they may have been, in fact, encouraging the crowd in. I don't know. Along with that, we're finding the Capitol Police Chief. This is Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sund, former Capitol Police Chief, because he has since left the job, asked repeatedly for the National Guard to be deployed on January 6th, even asked before January 6th, knowing that it was going to be a... President Trump, you remember, had already lost the election,
right,
was still in office, and was making complaints that it was stolen and everything, and had a whole bunch of people coming to Washington. In fact,
to protest.
The name of the rally was Stop the Steal.
Right.
And they knew they were going to be going to the Capitol. They didn't plan, or it can be argued that President Trump never asked them to go into the Capitol.
Right.
But he did ask them to go down to the Capitol,
right,
peacefully and protest. But there were FBI informants in there, and Chief Sund had asked for the National Guard to be deployed several times. But you know what? Nancy Pelosi wouldn't allow it.
This is, Fred, this is kind of the mystery surrounding what happened on January 6th. Now, we said in our story meeting, I personally have no problem with the FBI infiltrating groups that they think might be planning something harmful. I'm assuming that's why we haven't had terrorist attacks in this country. I think the FBI, by and large, is probably doing a superb job infiltrating groups that might be planning to do something harmful. However, I don't like the idea of them simply infiltrating a gathering of people on the other side of the political aisle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, for example, if the FBI has people infiltrating speeches when a Democrat's speaking. Okay, are they doing that? I also want to know the answer to this question. Lots of people do. Did some of the FBI informants, as Steve is hinting at here, push the protesters to enter the Capitol? Now, if you're a grown person and someone tells you to do something you know is not right and you do it anyway, you're still responsible.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a whole different kettle of fish if FBI agents on the government payroll were encouraging U.S. citizens to break the law. So those are some of my caveats here. I as I said during the first segment, I have lost a lot of faith in the Department of Justice and our intelligence services overall,
mm-hmm,
all these intelligence experts, quote unquote, who signed on to the Russia hoax and said, yeah, there's something here. Okay. Russian interference in the election all proved to be hogwash. Okay. So, I do have serious concerns, and I want to know the answer to that last question.
Sure.
I want to know, and I don't know the way we ever will get an answer.
Well, former President Trump has said on a number of occasions that prior to the January 6th rally that he had requested from Nancy Pelosi, who was House Speaker at the time, that he wanted the National Guard brought in. What was his reason for making that request? It is perhaps that he was told they were expecting a large crowd and that he desired perimeters around that, maybe to protect some of the people who were coming to the rally because they liked Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And perhaps he was worried about people who don't like Donald Trump interfering with the rally. Maybe right. That was his motivation. But he did ask that, and he says Nancy Pelosi turned him down. Now, what was her reason for turning him down? There are some of these things we're probably never going to know.
Right.
If you are hoping the January 6th commission was going to be not biased.
Right.
It was bipartisan.
Technically, a technical way only.
Yes. Nancy Pelosi picked two anti-Trump Republicans to be on that committee. So it was a whole sham. So the answer to some of your questions, perhaps we will never know. with regards to FBI agent Plants in that group, we won't know. Tucker Carlson fingered one individual, Mr. Epps.
Ray Epps.
And just in the last couple of days, he has been charged. But I think he launched a lawsuit against Tucker Carlson because he doesn't believe Tucker Carlson was telling the truth about him egging people on.
It's only on video, so you know, you never know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, the way people have been treated by the Justice Department in the, 2.5 years since January 6th, where people have been kept in prison without, having an attorney or without a speedy trial, all those things to at least one side of the political aisle seem incredibly suspicious and unjust. And it's like I said in the first segment, if you want people's confidence and you're the Justice Department, you've got to act justly. And for a lot of people, they aren't.
A lot of questions surrounding January 6th. It just, all the ducks seem to line up right for Democrats to use this to just beat Republicans and Donald Trump over the head repeatedly, make them out to be fascists and Nazis.
Right.
Donald Trump, they're trying to get him off the ballot in certain states because of this. I mean, it's just
they
like
try in New Hampshire already.
They have not been successful anywhere. But they're trying in Nevada, I think, also. Yeah. But it's just thing after thing after thing lines up to say that this is the gift that keeps on giving to the Democrat Party, and they are leveraging it to the hilt. And the elephant in the room seems to be, did they take advantage of this at the moment to try to engender this so that they could use it? I mean, the sham January 6th committee, it was put together by a Hollywood producer.
Right.
Half of the only stuff that was shown was the stuff that was anti-Trump. None of the open doors and escorting through, and none of that was addressed. So there's so many questions.
And I think, too, the other element, and I mention this frequently, is the mainstream media are nothing but lapdogs for the Democratic Party. So if you've got news agencies, whether it's CNN or whether it's the New York Times, whatever the case may be, and they are refusing to do what used to be their traditional job, regardless of what party was in power, you did stories. You checked on whether they were being factual. But now we are in a situation which is unprecedented in this country, where you have the mainstream media is all in for one party.
Right.
When I look at the Associated Press each day, as I do, and go through it, it is amazing to me when they do stories, for instance, on the Republicans now looking at the Justice Department and Hunter Biden. They will say the Republican Party without any evidence, are saying these things. I never see that when the Democrats are saying something about Donald Trump.
Right.
Never.
Because there's a whole lot of things being said without evidence.
That's right. So just be aware of this, folks. If you're getting your news from a particular, we watch Fox, too, a lot. Right. Fox is, I will say, certainly better than the rest. But there are times when you have to be careful, even when they're talking, because not everybody at Fox is a conservative.
Right.
I would remind everybody that the White House actually sent out a memo to the mainstream media saying, be very skeptical about this Hunter Biden investigations. Now you're seeing this is the genesis of all these without evidence, unsubstantiated, without proof. You're seeing those catchphrases a lot. Hey, do you guys remember the Civilian Conservation Corps? You remember hearing about that?
It was way back in the
30s and 40s.
Yeah.
Roosevelt put this together FDR. As a way to help young people get jobs during the Depression. And, Joe Biden today is going to sign an executive order that will create the American Climate Corps, a new and diverse generation of more than 20,000 Americans who will be trained and put to work on conservation, clean energy, and environmental justice programs.
Wow. So now the Biden administration they've lost their minds on the climate agenda, the climate change agenda. So this is going to be, so they're going to turn, so some public schools, I won't say all, but a lot of public schools are pushing the climate change ideology to kids in school. And then when they get out, and rather than go to college or after they get out of college, then they can just be channeled into this, what was the name of it?
American Climate Corps.
The American Climate Corps. Fred, that's a pretty good gig if you can get it. You indoctrinate children about the climate agenda, and then you just give them a job with the All-American Climate Corps.
Ah, but Ed and Steve, climate change, it's the reason people aren't buying houses.
Well, that's true.
Young people aren't buying. And if you don't believe me, Vice President Kamala Harris told people that the other day. The reason has nothing to do with interest rates.
Right.
Has nothing to do with the cost of a house.
Or college loans that they're paying off.
That's right. Cut number five, please.
I've heard young leaders talk with me about a term they've coined called climate anxiety, which is fear of the future and the unknown, of whether it makes sense for you to even think about having children, whether it makes sense for you to think about aspiring to buy a home, because yep. What will this climate be?
All right. So, Steve, now, first of all, I'm thankful she didn't cackle.
Well, that's true.
That makes it hard to
listen. We cut that out.
Cut that out. But I got to tell you, this is just what I was talking about. If young people have fear of their climate and where we're headed climate-wise, well, there's no – it's little wonder, because they've been indoctrinated to think the world is coming to an end and it's going to burn up because of fossil fuels. But if young people really believed that they couldn't buy homes because of the climate, what they would be doing is buying those tiny homes.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen those. It was a thing a couple of years ago.
I
would watch some of those shows, and I would think, how can someone live in something so small? It was kind of fascinating, you know, in a way that someone eating 100 hot dogs at the county fair is fascinating.
Kind of morbid fascination.
Yeah, kind of morbid fascination. But if young people really believed that, that's why they weren't buying houses. They'd buy tiny houses, but they're not buying tiny.
No, I don't think they are. But the housing market is depressed. I don't know what the reason is. I have to say this. I want to say this every time we do anything about climate change. The climate crisis is a manufactured crisis. There is no climate crisis. The change in climate is due much, much more to the cycles of the sun, to just normal variations that you've... I mean, we were in an ice age 1,000 or 2 years ago.
Right.
And it has warmed since then.
Yes.
I'll grant them that.
Climate has changed.
But the fact that the human blame for it, the fact that they are saying that carbon dioxide, plant food, is poison, all of this, they are only doing this to keep a younger generation and anyone else who will listen in fear, to keep them in power. It is nothing to do with the climate. It has everything to do with power.
Because those young people are going to be voters.
Yes,
some of them are voters now. And they are going to be Democratic voters voting for the Green New Deal when they get a chance.
Steve, are you going to use a little snippet of what we have from President Joe Biden, what he said and his UN address yesterday?
We can, yes. Let's do that. So he was at the UN yesterday, and this is what he had to say, cut two.
These snapshots tell an urgent story of what awaits us if we fail to reduce our dependence on fossil fuels and begin to climate-proof the world.
Climate-proof the world. Man can climate-proof the world.
Listen, it's the same mania that afflicted Barack Obama. Remember when he was elected, his acceptance speech?
Yes.
This is the moment when the seas will begin to recede. What human arrogance on the radical left to think that they can cause the seas to recede.
Yes.
And in Joe Biden's case, climate-proof the world. Listen, we've said on the show dozens and dozens and dozens of times, I don't believe these people, not because I don't want to follow the science, but because the way they live proves to me they don't believe it.
Yeah, well.
Okay, jetting around and flying around.
Isn't it a passage in the Bible that says the Lord has ordained the sea to go this far and
yes.
before?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And until the Lord returns, the sun is going to come up in the morning.
Yeah.
Going to settle in the evening. You know, it's amazing to me the arrogance. And again, the media didn't call him on that.
Right.
Mr. President, are you really saying that man can control the climate of the world? Because the media is all in on this, too.
Well, and we have said that when people ask these so-called climate experts, tell me what you are proposing we do and tell me what percentage decrease in the temperature this will provide.
Mm-hmm.
They can't answer that question because that is guesswork.
Yes.
And they don't have the answers to those questions.
No.
All right, Steve, we're
let's talk about
clicking away.
Okay, let's do this. Australian journalist, her name is Kirsten Drysdale. She works for the Australian Broadcasting Company, ABC. Do not confuse that with the American Broadcasting Company. But she's a kind of an investigative journalist, and she heard that Australia has some limits on what you can name your baby, that they won't let you, I mean, certain names, you can't use a swear word, or maybe, I don't know what they all are, maybe you can't name your baby Adolf Hitler or something like that. Right. Well, she wanted to know what the limits were. She's having a baby, so she decided to test it. Sure that this would be caught, she named her baby Methamphetamine Rules. You can call this young lady Methamphetamine Rules Drysdale. And so she puts the name in, waiting for the government to push back and say, no, you can't. And they didn't.
They accepted
it. And she now has a baby that's named Methamphetamine Rules Drysdale. Now the government says, we're sorry, it slipped through. We'll help you change the name. But note this, the name registered at birth remains the name registered at birth. And it will remain in the registry forever. Even if the name's formally changed, you were born as Methamphetamine. You only changed your name to Ruth.
All right, Fred, I don't know how it works in Australia, but in this country, to change your name legally, you have to go before a judge.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to be that husband and wife,
right,
that mom and dad, to go before a judge and have the judge looking through the papers and saying, you named your daughter what? You think this is a joke kind of thing? What do you say if you're a parent? I mean, now, listen, we all do dumb things when we're young, but this is pretty dumb.
I think when I grow up, I would identify as being a child of parents who abused me.
Yes.
Well, I think what one of the solutions might be, you don't have to change your name, just nickname her Crystal.
Oh, Steve. Crystal. Crystal
methamphetamine.
Crystal meth.
You know what Steve does during the first hour of TI?
Nothing.
He sits in his office and he goes through this. He rehearses all of this.
Yes.
You think?
Well, he caught me right off the top with the little deal you had.
Yeah. Yes. The help mental health line.
Yeah, the mental health line. That was funny.
Mm.
But you had that planned.
That one I had found last night. I just didn't tell you.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, folks, we do have a story meeting that is usually about an hour and a half before we come on the air. Right after our staff devotions is when we meet. We discuss the stories. We talk about various approaches. Sometimes we say, well, we can't deal with that story. We're going to have to dance around the subject. But sometimes folks hide things from the rest of us. And ambush us. Anyway, have a great day. I'm talking to you, Crystal, out there in Australia. And folks, more great programming directly ahead. You're listening to the American Family Radio Network. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow.